ISIS. Everybody talks about ISIS. We see the guys in the black outfits riding around in the backs of pickup trucks with machine guns, et cetera, et cetera. They are vicious zealots. But it's safe to say that here in America, nobody really knows who they are. So let's talk about the mystery of ISIS. And you, by the way, are an expert in the history of the various tribes, the various nations, and the flow, the ebb and flow of the nations of the Middle East. So on that basis, let's talk about ISIS.
Okay, very good. ISIS is the true Islamic ideology approved of by 82% of the Sunni Muslims in the world, according to Al Jazeera. 92% of the Saudis support ISIS. So ISIS is not an aberration. ISIS is Islam.
Hmm.
And this whole idea of cutting off heads and cutting off arms and legs and crucifying people and all these horrible things we see from the Quran, chapter 5, verse 33, all of this is accepted normal behavior in Islam.
Now, for years, Osama bin Laden was the bad guy over there, and people talked about him and wrote about him, and there were video reports. And you told me some years ago that Osama bin Laden was a Sunni.
Right.
So what would be his relationship or the relationship of what he was doing to what ISIS is doing today?
Okay. The educational system in Saudi Arabia follows what is known as the Wahhabi School of Islam. And Osama bin Laden was just a normative Saudi kid, mm-hmm. Based on the Islamic system.
Okay.
And he was an engineer. He was like a scientific mathematical engineer, and he was a contractor. The Osama bin Laden family in Saudi Arabia is extremely wealthy from the building contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sent to Afghanistan during the war with the Soviets. And he helped in construction projects in Afghanistan. And at that time, he became a jihadist. The Saudi government are okay with his family. They were okay with him too. But at some stage, the Saudis said, you know what? It's better if you stay in Afghanistan and wage jihad or holy war against the Russians. The Russians had invaded Afghanistan in 1979. They left in 1989. Many people call the Soviet war in Afghanistan the Russian version of Vietnam.
Hmm.
And the Russians lost. And it was actually the American government and the Western nations that supported the jihadists against the Soviets. There was a Cold War. And frankly, the Soviets lost. Communism collapsed in many ways thanks to the victory of Islam over the Soviet army in Afghanistan. And Osama bin Laden was part of that Islamic and Western victory over communism and Russia.
And so Osama bin Laden, in effect, had a success. But then, of course, there's the story of his demise. And everyone was very, very happy. And there was a lot of cheering and hoopla when he was taken out. And then the next thing we heard, there was like a change of scene.
Right.
And suddenly, it's not Osama bin Laden anymore, it's ISIS.
Right.
What's happening?
Well, what has happened is, and with your permission, I'll give a little bit of overall history of the Shiites and the Sunnis. ISIS is Sunni, and Iran is Shiite, Bashar al-Assad is Shiite, Hezbollah of Lebanon is Shiite. And so you have a constellation of different armies and different forces fighting another constellation of different armies and different forces.
Mm-hmm.
So the U.S., Europe, the Vatican support the Sunnis. Russia, China, North Korea support Iran. The Shiites in Iraq, Bashar al-Assad in Syria, Hezbollah, and the Houthis in Yemen.
You scooped everybody, but you were talking about the Houthis before they were in the news.
Right.
And then about a month later, that's all you could hear about in the news was the Houthis.
Right.
This is the thing I think that we need the most is clarity, because there's a lot of demagoguing going on about what we should be doing in the Middle East and
right.
who's our real enemy and so forth and so on. And that's why I want to talk about the mystery of ISIS in such a way that when we're through today, I hope it's no longer a mystery.
Right. About 1,400 years ago, with the creation of Islam, Muhammad started his religion, Islam, in 622 AD, and 632 he dies. Who replaces him? The first caliph. The word caliph doesn't mean like a kingdom. Caliph means the replacement. The first replacement for the Prophet Muhammad was Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was a very close lieutenant, very close confidant of Muhammad. And actually, he was the first caliph and died 2 years later because he was very infirm from all the wars and all the battle wounds. He was at Muhammad's side all the time. So he was the first caliph. The second caliph was Omar. The third caliph was Uthman, like Ottoman, comes from the word Uthman.
Yeah.
And these guys were caliphs for a few decades. And they were the fathers of what we call today the Sunnis. Okay? The Sunnis are the loyalists of these first three lieutenants. The problem with the Shiites begins with the fourth caliph, Ali. Ali was a cousin of Muhammad, and he married Muhammad's daughter, which is a customary thing in the Middle East, and they started a dynasty. And so two names are very well known, Hussein and Hassan. These are the grandsons, some of the grandchildren of Muhammad. And a whole dynasty was built up around these guys. And a struggle for power began with the followers of the first three caliphs. And so you have all these countries falling to the Islamic sword of all this gold and all this silver and slaves and spices and territories and power. And it's kind of like mafia families fighting each other over the turf and over the control.
Now, that makes it clear. We talk about, like, crime families fighting for ascendancy.
The difference between Shiites and Sunnis is only about who controls. It's really like mafia. So when the followers of the fourth caliph start to behead the followers of the first three caliphs respond by killing the followers of the fourth caliph. That's all you need to know about the Shiites and the Sunnis.
Wow.
And nothing has changed in 1,400 years. Okay?
A battle for supremacy. Politically, economically.
Right. And Muhammad had a dream before his death. This is a story that every Muslim knows, that his camp, he had a dream before his death, that his camp would be divided into two, and only one of the two camps is going to heaven. So the Shiites and the Sunnis claim this as their legitimacy against the other side.
Okay.
But there is no difference in religion, really, except for the martyrology of the Shiites, that their people were annihilated. Hassan and Hussein, the grandsons of Muhammad, were beheaded by the followers of the first three caliphs. Very bloody thing. Okay. Fast forward today. The Islamic world, which is somewhere around 1.5 billion people, is 85% Sunni. In other words, ISIS addresses 85% of the Muslims, and 82% of the 85% support ISIS everywhere in the world.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's a lot of, that's like a billion people.
That's a contingency out there. I mean, and there's power in that.
Right, right. Now, where do you see these 1.2 billion Sunnis? You see them, for example, in Indonesia. Indonesia is 200 million Muslims. You see them in Turkey and the Turkic Soviet republics, former Soviet republics, that's about 270 million. 70 million Sunnis in Egypt, 70 million Sunnis in Turkey. Africa, other countries, and that's how you get a billion Sunnis. The Shiites are only 15%, but they are concentrated in the Persian Gulf. What do you have in the Persian Gulf? Oil!
Oil!
So, in the Persian Gulf, it's 50-50. And they are vying for who's going to control. This is a story that's been going on for 1,400 years. You know, the Catholics and Protestants had these wars of Reformation. After 300 years, they stopped killing each other.
Right.
1,400 years, they don't stop killing each other.
Now, we think when we see ISIS, and automatically there is this connection in our brain, the word ISIS means vicious, beheaders, ruthless, subversives, the bomb carriers, terrorists. And you say, well, they're Sunnis.
Right.
When I think of a Sunni, I think of the Saudi Arabians, for
Correct.
Example, and I think of them as sort of peaceful. That is, they're not riding in the back of pickup trucks with machine guns.
Right.
We think of them as more or less peace-loving people.
Right.
But you're saying they're the same group.
That there are two types of Islam. There is the revolutionary Islam and
yes.
the revolutionary. Now, Osama bin Laden, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, these are revolutionary or violent types of Islam, Islam of the sword. The Saudis, as you correctly say, the leadership of Saudi Arabia, is considered infidel, heretic, and traitors by ISIS, by Al-Qaeda, by Osama bin Laden, because they are seen as in bed with the one world government economy. That's why they're quiet.
And they are,
yes.
by the way. And by the way, they're mentioned that way in the Bible, I think in Ezekiel 38, where Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish form a nice, cozy little group of people, the world trading system.
Right.
I think that's a reference to the Saudis.
Yes, and what America is doing today, in other words, those people in America or in Europe are saying, well, we don't want these refugees from Syria or Afghanistan because they're terrorists. By and large, they're not terrorists. They're quiet people. Their plan is to take over America incrementally by immigration and by the use of their Islamic cash and oil.
And they're doing it.
Yes.
They're building mosques in America, and you've told me about this in the past.
Yes. Now, ISIS disagrees with this. ISIS says America is the great Christian Satan, that the only solution possible is the destruction of America. Saudis don't like that. The Saudi approach is, the quiet approach is, no, we will buy America out and we will glorify Allah by making America a Muslim country. And then the Christians and Jews and all the people who live in America, they will convert to Islam. Okay? ISIS says, no, we're going to kill everybody. Very often, ISIS captures Christians or Yazidis or Kurds or other groups. Say, are you going to be one of us? They say, yes, or we're going to kill you anyway. They just kill everybody.
Wow.
So, the Saudi plan, Qatar, Turkey, Egypt, all these so-called moderates, they're not moderates, but their system, their strategy is not to kill the Westerners, but to convert them to Islam.
Now that makes it clear to me. And now I understand. We're talking about money here.
Right.
We're talking about...
It's all about the economy.
The economy. Let's talk about Islamic rivalry.
Now, you know, when the white man settled the North American continent, and also when the Spanish and Portuguese settled South America, you had the Native Americans, what they call the Indians.
Yeah.
And they were divided up into different tribes.
Sure.
And a lot of these tribes were fighting each other. So when the white man came, some of the tribes aligned themselves with the white man in order to fight the vicious enemy, which is the other tribe down in the next, county,
Yeah.
So certain Native Americans aligned themselves and mixed in with the whites, and then the others, were decimated. Now, what's happening today, and we have to look at the history of Russia. The Russians, the Polish, the Ukrainians, Slavic nations, the Austrians, the Spanish, the French, the Portuguese, suffered from centuries of Islamic invasions. And it took, for example, 760 years until Islam was forbidden and pushed out of Spain. It took the Russians, the Polish, and the Ukrainians 1,000 years to defeat the Muslims in Eastern Europe. My grandparents built the walls of Warsaw. The king of Poland in the 1600s built the wall of Warsaw because the Tatars, they are Turkic peoples from the south of what is today the Crimea, from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
They were raiding all the way up to Moscow, raiding all the way up to Warsaw, the Ukraine, Kiev, and there were hundreds and hundreds of years in which Christian women were raped and kidnapped and the men were killed and slavery and these Slavic villages were burned down. And what happened eventually was that Poland, Russia, and the Ukrainians, they fought each other. Also, they were fighting each other, but they were fighting the Muslims. These Muslims in the south of Russia were Turkic Sunni Muslims. And there were three primary Sunni nations that were suppressed by the Russians, by the Tsarist army.
Uh-huh.
Those are the Tatars, the Circassians, and the Chechens. We hear today about a war between Russia and the Chechens.
Yeah.
Chechnya is part of Russia.
Hmm.
And you had the Boston Marathon bombers The Tsarnaev brothers.
That's right.
They're Muslim Chechens.
Chechens.
Sunnis. And the Russian government warned the United States that these Muslim terrorists are going to do trouble in the United States. And the U.S. completely ignored it. And so Russia warned America about these Muslim terrorists from Chechnya. And they, not only did they carry out the bombing in the Boston Marathon bombing, but they also slit the throats of three Jewish students, college students. It was a cold case. It went cold. The police didn't have a clue until after the Boston bombings, and then the truth came out that these three Jewish kids had their throats slit by these Tsarnaev brothers.
Now, what's really interesting to me, and we're talking today about the mystery of ISIS, what fascinates me most of all right now, and I think that most of our audience is fascinated by the fact that the Saudis are Sunnis, ISIS are Sunnis. They're using two different methods to achieve essentially the same end. The Saudis are taking the monetary approach, working, I suppose, with business interests, moneyed interests in the West. ISIS is taking the martial approach, go after them with weapons, with bombs, and so forth. But you're saying their goal is the same.
Yes.
And their motivation is the same.
Yes, but they're working at cross purposes. They hate each other. And ISIS today, one of their plans is to conquer Jordan, conquer Saudi Arabia, kill the king of Jordan, kill the king of Saudi Arabia and their families, and blow up the oil wells. And that's something the one world government cannot tolerate.
And at that point, they would be what exactly?
They would be banned by the world.
They seek to be the replacement, to use the word caliph that you explained a minute ago means replacement. They want to be the replacement for all of the power and control.
In the world.
In the world.
Right. Because the purpose of the one world government is to make money. Their lord is Mammon. And so what happens is when ISIS goes to blow up the oil wells in Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula, that's when the one world government bans Islam.
All right. Now the stage is set. You've got a lot of information to work with here, so listen carefully because I'm going to ask the question next of you. Where does this lead now? We're talking about the year 2015.
Right.
In 2016, 2017, where is this going?
Okay. Firstly, after the bombing of the Russian airliner, the explosion in Sinai, after the attack in Paris, or the attacks in Paris, ISIS has promised 24 simultaneous attacks on American soil in the near future. So I don't know when these things are going to happen. But this is nothing new. Al Jazeera carried out a poll, conducted a poll, in which 82% of the Muslims support ISIS all over the world. So ISIS is doing what the Muslims in their hearts, heart of hearts, they really want to do. Not 82, but 92% of Saudi Arabia supports ISIS. ISIS is not an aberration. ISIS is the true prodigal son of Islam.
And yet they've been called the junior varsity team. They've been dismissed as, well, a bunch of upstarts, and they don't really mean anything, and look the other way because they'll soon be gone. ISIS is dismissed by the West, or at least has been until very recently.
Right. Well, I see it like this. Junior varsity is very adequate description of a group of terrorists.
Upstarts.
Upstarts, who in the end will be finished off by the one world government because it's all about money. And I have no doubt about it.
What you're saying is that the Saudi Arabians, as Sunnis, are in league with the big moneyed forces around the world. And these would be in Europe, some of them in America, some maybe in China. Saudi Arabia is working hand in glove with them, and yet they are philosophically aligned with ISIS.
Very correct. It's only a question, it's the same strategy, but different tactics.
Ah.
Okay, the strategy is to make the world Muslim. The tactics are either violent or nonviolent. You know, either martial, as you said, or economic.
What should we be conscious of, say, in the next 12 to 18 calendar months?
I think that the greatest threat is not terrorism. The leadership in America is suppressing the 70% of the American population that claims to be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity has become politically incorrect. Christianity has become not cool. Islam is now the future power. There's been a shift in the last few years. Eventually what's going to happen is if TSA, you know, Homeland Security, says that if you're a Christian, you're a terrorist, and if you believe in the Bible, you're mentally unstable, which is what it's in their handbook, in their guidebook, America has a problem. America has a very great spiritual problem. And so I think the great threat to America is not from Islamic terrorism. You have very good intelligence, very good FBI, CIA, NSA, and intelligence. The problem is the spirit and heart and soul of this country.